for one and one for another. With the name of love above all other. In every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. It's Friday, or if you're listening to the rebroadcast, it's Saturday or it's Sunday, and it is on the cusp of the weekend here, and I know for many of our young people, it is the cusp of summer vacation as well. So exciting times as we move into this time of there must be a sense of renewed freedom, isn't there? I mean, I still work somewhat in conjunction with the academic or the program year, and I think many people, even if they don't, if they have a sort of 9-to-5 job that goes, it's pretty much same day in, day out, season in, season out. There's still a sense when summer rolls around that, there's a breath of fresh air. There's a little bit more of a feeling of openness and perhaps of freedom. And I'm wondering if when you woke up this morning, if you were thankful for your freedom, for the freedom that you have been given, freedom to, as we know from our Catholic teaching, that freedom is actual, true freedom is actually the freedom to choose the good. Are you thankful for that freedom that you have? And we, specifically in our country, have been given a number of freedoms that around the world aren't always the case. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, that we can be thankful for. Well, you know, there are those in our midst, in our society, who, to certain degrees anyway, have a little bit of a restriction on that freedom. And I'm thinking specifically of those who are serving time in incarceration facilities. And that's what we're going to talk about today here on the Rediscover Hour. So we are talking about prison ministry and how these the guests that we have on and how many others work to bring in the freedom that Christ brings into that place where freedom isn't necessarily always as obvious. But the freedom of Christ is still available to them in those places. The freedom that Jesus has come to bring, freedom to say yes to the good, is still there in those places, even if other freedoms that we typically associate with our everyday lives or we even take for granted in our everyday lives are not necessarily there. Just a few statistics that I pulled off the Minnesota Department of Corrections website. As of January 1st of this year, 2017, in the state prison system, so this is not the federal, but in the state prison system, there are just under 10,000 inmates. Just under 10,000 inmates in the state of Minnesota. And of those, the average age of those inmates is right around 37. The number of lifers is 594. 594 people are spending the rest of their life in prison. The current inmates age 50 or older, 1,450. So 1,450 people who are older than the age of 50 who are incarcerated. Interestingly enough, there's also some statistics about religious affiliation there, and there's some denominational breakdown. So there's Catholic, about 11% or just over 1,000 profess to be Catholic. There's Lutheran is 654, Baptist 451. Other Christian, quote unquote, other Christian, there's a significant percentage of those, 28.6% or almost 3,000 claim to be some other Christian denomination. But here's something to know and to note. Over 3,000 of those incarcerated in the state's prison system are either unknown or they have no particular religious preference, which means that, to my mind anyway, it means that they are still... those are the fields that are ripe for harvest. They are in need of entering into this relationship with Christ and entering into understanding the freedoms that he has come to bring. So as we talk about prison ministry today, we're going to be speaking with Joni Moses, who actually does some work with women and a writing ministry, helping them to understand the things that they have experienced, the things that they have encountered through their writing. So we're going to be talking to her in just a moment. Then later on in the show, we're going to be speaking with Barb and Tim Skillings, who coordinate retreats for prisoners. Yeah, that's what I said, retreats for prisoners, through an organization that they helped to found called Residents Encounter Christ. I think this is going to be a fascinating show, and I'm hoping that you're thinking so as well and looking forward to the hour that's in front of us. So let's pause, as we always do at the beginning of the show, and commit the show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Coming right back from a break, we're going to be speaking with Joni Moses, author, and she does a writing ministry with women prisoners. So stay with us. Rediscover.
Hi, we're Modern Roadways, installing, patching, and seal coating driveways and parking lots since 1953. All blacktop will show considerable deterioration after 4 years. The best and most economical way to correct this is a hot chip seal. We apply liquid asphalt that penetrates and rejuvenates. Then we cover with rock or stone. The covering material has to stay on for 6 weeks. Then it's the owner's responsibility for its removal. This spring, we're offering a $100 discount to any relevant radio listener who gives us the go-ahead on any bid over $1,000. Last year, several customers asked that the discount be donated to Relevant Radio. We love doing that. Call us for a free estimate. Modern Roadways, 763-545-1777. And you come alive like a melody, and you shine brighter than a new day, and I sing along.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, and it's great to be here and speaking about prison ministry today. Joining me now in studio is Joni Moses, who began her women's ministry after attending the Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute, and through the Catechetical Institute, also discerning her charisms through a Called and Gifted workshop. We at the Office of Evangelization are big fans of both of those. And she's been writing poetry and song parodies for over 55 years. She's published dozens of articles and 5 books. Her volunteer experiences include facilitating personal writing classes in churches and homes, and even in a women's reentry facility. And in fact, we're going to be talking about one of her books a little bit later on. But for now, welcome to the program, Joni. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Pat. Yeah. And greetings and blessings to all your listeners.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's great to have you with us. And so I want to start with how, well, I have to be a little self-indulgent here with the Office of Evangelization. How did, tell us, how did the Catechetical Institute experience and the discerning your charisms through the Called and Gifted, how did that influence your ministry?
Well, I started the Catechetical Institute in 2014 in the fall, and the knowledge, the scripture, getting together with over 200 enthusiastic Catholics every single week was so inspiring to me. And I've always been a good volunteer, but prison ministry just started, it just entered my mind that I could be doing my writing someplace else.
Wow.
And it was through the classes, through the small group leadership, and of course the large group assemblies with the amazing speakers that come. Mm. It was all inspiring, and it just armed me with the knowledge and the confidence to go out and pursue writing with these women. And it just so happened that by the following January, I had Called and Gifted, and at the same time, the women in the that I was serving asked me to put their writings to collect them and put them together in a book for the people who came after.
Yeah.
And the charisms, oh, the called and gifted just reconfirmed my commitment to these women. And it was like the Holy Spirit just opened the door and said, this is what you're here for. It isn't just giving them a voice. It is strengthening their faith and hope in their futures.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's
how
it worked.
Well, and we always, I think, have to be open to how the Lord is leading us and certainly availing ourselves of certain opportunities that we have, like with the Catechetical Institute, like with Called and Gifted. I mean, that can only help in terms of, recognizing that. But you were a writer long before the whole prison ministry thing came into view, right?
Yes.
Okay, so unpack a little bit more for us how specifically you've moved from being a writer to specifically teaching these writing classes with the women.
Well, 10 years ago, my writing teacher at the time invited me personally to join him. He was working with the women at this facility.
Okay.
And it was a women's prison at that time. It is now a reentry center and a work release program. And I was able to join him for three times, but I was a caregiver and working full time, and it just didn't fit in my schedule. Mm. So my husband passed away in 2012, and I was working on what am I going to do with the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone I'd been caring for 20 years has now passed. And
that's hard for a caregiver, yeah.
Yeah, and I knew I would have a lot of time. I even tried to turn in a resignation to Core Bishop Sharble at our church, and he handed it back to me and said, I want to know what you're going to do with your time before I accept this. And that was the smartest move, because then I started listing, and these women in prison kept coming up to the top of my list. And so with everything I was learning about serving others and the Catholic Church through the Catechism, it just all strengthened my resolve to go back and work with these women. So I called up and said, may I come in and do a writing group with them? And she said, well, of course. Well, they were surprised, but they said, well, we'll test it out.
Right.
And now I have men ask me, they know what I'm doing there because there's a glass wall they can see. And men ask me if I will come in. And I don't have time to come in and work with the men, but anyone out there who wants to just talk and listen to them is definitely invited. They need mentors. They need people to hear them.
Wow. Well,
the men and women.
There's an opportunity that the Holy Spirit may be using for some one of our listeners out there, maybe
That's
some of our listeners. Okay, so what was it like? I'm just curious. What was it like coming in that first time, the first time into the facility, and you're meeting with these women that you've never, presumably, you've never met before?
No.
You have, I'm sure, thoughts and prepared materials about what you're going to do, but there must have been some anticipation, some maybe even anxiety about moving into that situation.
I was very happy to be able to step back and do this again. And I had a really good relationship with the women that I was there with three times in a row. And so I was looking forward to that. I had a lot of expectations. And as you know, expectations are not always fulfilled.
No.
And there were about 21 or 22 women that first night.
Wow.
And so we were in their common room where they play, eat, exercise, and they were sitting at different tables of six or eight and on the couch and everything else. So getting their attention, I just did a whole lot of talking pretty much that night. And I came armed with a list of questions about their past, present, and future. And we did get to some of them. There were a lot that were reluctant, but you know, when people's work schedules open up, they tend to come. They're still curious, even if they can't keep coming. on a regular basis, because I'm there every week, people do return after not seeing them for 2 or 3 months. So that tells me that while they didn't know what to expect in the first place, they did like what they experienced.
Right, absolutely. What age range are we talking about here?
Oh, well, adult.
Yeah.
I know I've had several women into their 50s.
Okay.
And the fact that I'm 20 years older than them has encouraged them, because they're at a point where they are reinventing their lives.
Yeah.
They've lost everything they had, mostly.
Yeah.
They've severed probably a lot of family ties.
Mm-hmm.
Many have lost their children. Many have lost careers that they worked at for even decades.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives them hope just to see someone my age that has started over. Mm-hmm. I do tell them my past, which I was in a marriage for 12 years with a man that was not honorable, and I had a lot of loss in my early adulthood, and I started over with nothing, but I had 2 girls.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it gets into my story, and that helps them relate to me too.
Yeah, I think that's a general concept, right? That when we're willing to be a bit vulnerable ourselves, it sets the stage for others to be vulnerable as well. It builds trust, and
yes.
I'd imagine that's a big part of it. That it's not just about coming in and setting a piece of paper and a pen down in front of a woman and say, "Okay, write." Yeah.
Well, the first thing I have them do is write their present moment.
Okay.
What is on your mind when you walk in this door?
Mm.
And so they take 5 minutes to write that down. And if they're upset about something or happy about the way an interview went for a new job or whatever it is, they get to express it. They write it, and I say, that makes it real in your mind, what you write, and for all the answers also. And then when you share it with the group, it makes it real to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So we get into goals and everything, but first of all, we start with what's on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they at right now?
Mm-hmm.
And that usually leads to the first question. And I come armed with a battery of questions,
of course.
Right. And I'll ask about their past, present, and future. And so sharing each time that they write, we usually get 2 to 3 questions a night, plus that present moment. So when they share what they write, they find out people that they rub shoulder to shoulder every day in their regular life, either in the prison or in the reentry center. There are things that they never knew about them, and there are so many commonalities.
Right.
And that's when sometimes I will share my experience that's very similar.
Mm.
And every few weeks, I tell them I'm a volunteer, and I've got new people in all the time. So they're always amazed that a volunteer will come every week. Some of them think I'm being paid to be there.
Yeah.
Well, it changes the atmosphere in the room when they realize that I am choosing to come and talk with them.
Right.
So I can't say enough about volunteerism and the effect that it has on people and how easy it is to volunteer. You just go do a background check, which you have to do for many other things, get your fingerprints, and within a couple of weeks they call and say, come in when you can.
Yeah.
You can see whoever you wish.
Yeah. You mentioned before that it's you had... you say about 20 women
that night? That first time.
Yeah. How many do you get?
Usually my classes are about four or five.
Okay.
I've had as many as 14. I've done classes for one. Mm. Sometimes because of different circumstances, I'll start out with a larger class. And like if I come on a Thursday night, they get visitors. So sometimes they get visitors. It's a good thing for them to be there. If they're not having a visitor, it gives them a different thing
somewhere
to think about.
And, right.
But normally I'm there on Wednesday nights. And if they even have just been released from prison at 5 o'clock, then we'll send them there at 6:30.
Wow.
And they will start writing.
Wow.
So It's amazing.
That's got to be pretty. It must have a profound effect not only on their lives but on yours as well, as you've been doing this over the course of the years. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. I mean, when you get them that fresh from prison, mm-hmm. they haven't had orientation. They don't know what to expect there. They've gone through programs in prison that have enabled them to earn a work release program.
Okay,
and getting out a little earlier to spend those last few months at the reentry center. And so they just think this is another class when they're coming.
Right.
And they don't realize it's totally about them personally.
Right.
And so they're usually very happy with that.
How long is the typical session?
It's an hour and a half.
An hour and a half. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the book now.
Okay.
It's called Breaking the Cycle, yeah?
Yes.
And tell me about the title. I mean, where does that come from?
The women named it.
Okay.
They their choice was between the struggle and breaking the cycle, because the week that they decided to put it into a book, they looked at all of their writings, and three of them had written Breaking the Cycle in the course of their writing.
Wow.
And a couple of others had addressed the struggle, like with capitals. So they chose Breaking the Cycle. And they said, that's what this is about. Many of them have been there. They've even been to this reentry center more than once.
Wow.
So they want to break that.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. So is this a collection of essays, or is it poetry? Is it, what is it?
This is responses to their questions.
Okay.
The first thing they give me is responses to the questions. And by the end of their first evening with me, they usually reveal if they are a writer. And they hand me poetry. Mm. They bring me journal pieces. Sometimes things are revealed privately, because I will meet with them privately. And I tell them that every week. If you want me to come and just chat, I will do that. You don't have to write.
Nice.
But normally, I give them a question, they write their response, and they share it, and we go on to the next one. Some of their poetry, though, they write as a response to a question.
Okay.
So this is one. The money, the cars, the jewelry, the clothes, they leave. It's an addiction in itself, I always say. But the streets aren't very nice when it's time to play. It's much too easy to stay. And they pull you back in whenever you begin to go astray.
Wow.
And so a lot of times, really beautiful rhyme.
Yeah.
And that's how they answer their questions. Mm-hmm. And one night I asked if there was one day that you could change in your past, mm-hmm. what would it be? And I got just amazing answers. The day they first tried drugs, the day they first stole something. But this one girl said, I was 13. I missed the school bus, and a pimp picked me up and put me out on the streets. And she'd been in prostitution ever since. She was 13. And when I talk to her, she's 52.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I really never know what's going to come out as an answer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of their answers are heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they reveal things that I don't know.
Yeah. Well, with the revelation of some of these things that they're doing, perhaps even revealing to themselves, I think they haven't really processed through some of these experiences, I would imagine.
Right.
I mean, that's got to be a sign of tremendous fruit that all of your effort and all of your time, all of your volunteering
right.
has produced. So I'm just wondering if you've seen other areas of significant fruit, or if there are any stories along that line as well.
Yes. Well, this one, for what do you need extra courage, was okay. my question.
Yeah.
It's a rather long answer, but some of her cohorts said to stay strong and stay on the right path even when it's hard. She needed more time. She wrote, "I need more courage for my daughter. She's locked up in the psych ward for trying to kill herself. She's 16 with a child. My mom went to the hospital and the doctors asked her in front of my mom, the daughter, in front of my mom, what was bothering her. And my daughter said she was molested by one of mom's exes. My mom got angry at my daughter for saying that and is trying to have people take her, have the girl committed, and take her baby. She's also pregnant. I know what she's going through because I was molested over 20 times and raped twice growing up, and my mom never did nothing. Instead, she turned around saying I must have been promiscuous. I know what my daughter is feeling, and there's nothing I can do. I need courage to stand up to my mom and let her know the cycle needs to end. She was raped as a child, burned, tortured, locked in a closet for days, so I don't see why the tortured is turning into the torturer."
Wow.
And this all came out from a question that others answered very simply.
Yeah.
And she ended up saying that she has to deal with this with her mother and tell her that the cycle has to end.
Right. Equally, I mean, that's a challenge I can certainly understand, but equally it seems to me like you're also sowing hope in that sort of thing, that they're able to express it in such a way that now they can begin to respond to it, whereas before it may have been tucked and, you know, suppressed in some area of their lives that they just didn't want
to
touch it, didn't want to deal with it.
And I'm happy to say that her daughters have been removed from her mother's care while she's in the reentry center. And I've asked her since then how it's going. And she said, well, everybody's okay right now.
Mm.
But it was at that moment, writing this answer, that she realized she had to separate. And she loves her mother. Mm. When asked about her mother, she said, "Brilliant, beautiful, black queen. Mm. That is my mother."
Wow.
And the next week she wrote this.
Wow.
So, like what you said, she has an image of her mother that wasn't fitting with reality, and the question helped her realize that.
Unbelievable.
It is.
I wish we had a lot more time to speak with you, Joni, but if people are interested in getting a copy of the book, again, it's called Breaking the Cycle, where could they find it?
It is on Amazon. You have to put in Breaking the Cycle by Joan Moses, because there are other Breaking the Cycle books, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only $12. I kept the price reasonable so that community centers and women's shelters and other places where you're dealing with at-risk women could purchase the book and share these stories with them and maybe encourage them to write their own answers. Use my questions.
Mm-hmm.
You're free to use them. And work with the women in your group. Also, I'm available for presentations for talking about the book. And some of the women who have been released want to go with me to different places.
Wow.
Right now, we go to my Daughters in the American Revolution groups.
Okay.
And but I'm perfectly willing to set up things with the public and either bring someone with me to answer questions or just have me do a presentation on it.
Is there a good way for people to get in touch with you then if they're interested in those things?
Yes, I'm on joanmoses.com.
Okay.
And mosespublishing.com.
Okay.
And Yeah.
There's,
you can email through the info pages.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Well, Joni, thank you so much for being on the show today. God bless you. You're certainly sowing seeds of which you and I and even this generation may not see the full harvest of, but undoubtedly giving a lot of hope to people who are in maybe not so enviable situations. But thank you. Thank you for responding to the Lord's call.
Thank you, Pat. My little tagline ever since I was a teenager was submit to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The tug of the Holy Spirit. And I hope that's what I'm doing.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless.
I believe you are. That's Joni Moses. We are going to come back right after this, and we're going to speak with Barb and Tim Skillings, who run retreats for residents in prisons. So stay with us. Rediscover.
Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation Services have scheduled a pre-planning seminar for this month. A pre-planning seminar will provide you with information and the time to ask questions and learn about all of your end-of-life options in a calm and rational atmosphere. Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation Services offers unequaled quality and value and has been a part of the Twin Cities community for 160 years. These pre-planning seminars come with free pre-planning. They can also visit you in your home for a private discussion. The number to call to attend or receive free pre-planning materials from Washburn McGreevy is 612-377-2203. You can trust your arrangements to their professionals dedicated to excellence in end-of-life arrangements. Start the pre-planning process this month or meet with a Washburn McGreevy representative with no obligation. Call 612-377-2203. The 16 Twin Cities locations of Washburn McGreevy present the Daily Mass and Rosary on Relevant Radio.
I hung my hope on your return. Now all that sorrow so soon will burn. So tend my heart with tender hands.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you, along with our producer Susanna Boley and our technical producer Paul Sadek, coming to you live on Friday anyway from the Relevant Radio Studios in Golden Valley, Minnesota. We are happy to be with you, and today we are talking about prison ministry. We've just had a fascinating conversation with Joni Moses, and now joining us in the studio are Barb and Tim Skillings. The Skillings coordinate Residents Encounter Christ, or REC, REC retreats at Stillwater, Lionel Lakes, and Rush City facilities throughout the Twin Cities, or through the Twin Cities REC organization, which they helped to found. They're parishioners at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, where the church congregation is also participating in a different prison ministry called Embrace. So you have maybe a couple different inroads there. But I'd like to welcome you to the studio. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah, great. Well, let's launch right off and say, find out more about, well, first of all, how did you get involved in at the very beginning? How did it come to be that you started thinking about doing retreats for residents in prison?
Well, we got to go back to originally we were involved with the tech program.
Yeah, okay.
Together Encountering Christ.
Yeah.
And we were very involved up there, did a lot of directing some of the weekends for, I guess, about 7-8 years.
Wow.
And then we got involved, maybe I'll turn this part of it over to Barb, as far as how we went to the South Dakota prison
so
down
we,
there.
Some people that we knew from tech went on a vacation / work, and they took their two youngest daughters, and they were in another state, and they were at a hotel just getting out, and their youngest, their 8-year-old, was abducted and raped and molested.
Oh my goodness.
The turmoil, I keep this short because it could be very long explaining this, but the turmoil that they went through, and she was brought back, the anger that they felt, the unforgiveness that they felt for men in prison. So they did capture this man, which is a good thing because the dad said that he would have killed him. Anyway, they were called several times from South Dakota State Penitentiary, the people who did recs there, and were asked, you know, to come and work on these retreats. And they were like, are you kidding me? They deserve nothing. Mm. You know, so they said no, hung up. They called back several times. And finally, this family said, fine. The mom and dad said, fine, we'll come, but we'll show you they deserve nothing. And so they went to this retreat called REC, participated, and the forgiveness started. They were so changed. Their hearts were changed. They saw these men as men of God, you know, that they were created in God's image. And so that forgiveness started. And so they asked several of us to go to South Dakota State Prison to experience the REC, and we did. And we were also moved. I remember standing in line, though, to be processed in, and I thought, you know, as much as I love my husband, I would see women coming in, bringing their kids to see the
their husbands or whoever in prison. I said, I could not do this. It'd be too humiliating. But my heart was so changed after the fact. So we decided, along with his family from Alexandria, to start REC in Minnesota.
In Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And you're currently active at three different facilities, is that right, or is it more than that?
We have three from our area, the Minneapolis-St. Paul Diocese. There are others. There's seven or eight other facilities up in central Minnesota that have been active, too, for about 25 years now.
Yeah, so one is the prison, and then there's jails that they're involved in.
Got it. Okay, so let's get down to brass tacks here about the retreats themselves. Mm-hmm. What exactly are they? Who participates? How long does it last? What happens at them? Give us the lowdown of some of that.
Okay. REC itself, Residents Encounter Christ, is a two-day retreat based on the Paschal mystery, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The participants, in our case here, REC, stands for residents. They're inmates at the different facilities, the prisons that we are involved in here. They experience the message of Christ through participation in music, discussions, talks, prayer, scripture, reconciliation, liturgy, and celebration.
Hmm.
It's a two-day retreat. They're 12-hour days each, and the first day is we call Die Day. That's where first full day in prison. It focuses on building community and on dying to self and our failed sinful actions. Mm. Talks encourage group discussions, while music and other activities support the Die Day theme as participants experience the forgiveness of God in various ways, including confession.
Mm.
The second day is Rise Day. It begins by recalling the resurrection of Jesus and the hope it provides. Then it builds on a theme of God's love. It concludes with reflections on the going forth days after a wreck and Thanksgiving prayers and the celebration of Holy Mass.
Mm.
And we've been very blessed. The ending Mass on the weekends, we've had bishops. We've had Archbishop Flynn and Archbishop Hebda have said the closing Mass for us, as well as Bishop Cousins and Bishop Pache.
Mm.
So, and the men have really enjoyed them,
mm-hmm.
as far as them being there with them. So,
right.
So they sign up for this retreat.
Okay.
And I would say most of them are not Catholic.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because you were talking about confession and liturgy, mm-hmm. and Mass and that sort of thing, but it is open to non-Catholics then.
It is. Mm. It is. And so when we do confession, we do have 4 to 5 priests that come, and maybe 2 pastors from another faith that come. So the men do have, if they really are uncomfortable with seeing a priest. But it is very powerful to watch them come out from confession, even when they're not Catholic and they go to a priest. It's very powerful to watch their faces change.
Yeah, I can imagine. What sort of, let's talk about that a little bit. What are some of the fruits that you've seen throughout your time in leading these types of retreats?
Well, we have one, which is an ex-inmate who was on our first REC weekend at Lino Lakes.
Mm.
And since he's been out for quite a while, but he's been working with us for the last 10 years as part of our team from the outside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so very powerful. We've had others, but because of their crime, decisions were made that they could not come in after they've been out for several years also.
Okay.
But because of the nature of their crime, they cannot participate.
Fair enough.
On the weekends. So, but we just actually, we were up in Duluth a couple weeks ago. And we actually, one gentleman, we're coming out of, or going to Grandma's for onion rings, which we love to do.
I do too, yes. And that's all right.
And so a gentleman says, Tim, Barb, and he took off his hat. And so we knew the face, couldn't remember the name, because there's so many men that go through the program. But he said he's doing very well. He said, I was at Lionel Lakes. And I was just got out in February, this last February, and I'm doing quite well. So someone got him in touch with a church, and he's working. So, yeah, so off and on we run into those.
Yeah.
But even if we don't get to see the fruits of what we do, the gift that we bring is that gift of love and the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy, you know, that, that Jesus gives. And we get to see how powerful that is. And it's such a gift for them. A lot of them will say that it's probably the best weekend of their life.
It's encouraging also to me, anyhow, well, and I believe to the rest of the team, that because we don't see them in the facility anymore, we're we're encouraged that they are on the outside and they're doing as well as they can possibly do. So versus having them come back in 6 months, a year or 2 years down the road. But we've had a couple over the years, but not too many. So that's encouraging that they are taking it and running with it the best they can, I guess.
Yeah.
So, and we, you know, we were at Lionel Lakes for 22 years. And then it was just back in 2015 when the commissioner emailed me and said that he really appreciates our program. Could we go into Stillwater and Rush City, which we had tried before on our own, but they just said no. And that, so he opened the doors. But first I need to tell you, when I got that email, I was like, are you serious, Lord? we have, that means more money that we need and more people, more volunteers. And so I really desperately said, Lord, I need to know this is from you. I need a sign that this is really from you. And so the next morning during my prayer time, the readings came from Psalm 102, verse 21 was in there, and it said, attend to the groans of the prisoners. And so we're like, okay.
Darn it.
We're doing it. We're on our way. So slowly we've done two retreats at Stillwater, and we've done one at Rush City. And we're working towards the second one at Rush City at the moment.
And how long have you been at Lionel Lakes again?
22 years this year.
22 years.
Yeah, so we started out actually when, you know, Rex first started.
Yeah.
When we developed it, it was like, okay, we're going to the big place. We're going to St. Cloud Prison. And God was like, are you serious? You know nothing. So he actually opened the doors to a juvenile center up in Sauk Center, and that's where we started with only 9 participants, 9 boys, which we weren't sure what we were going to do with because it's so few numbers compared to what we're used to. But it works so well, and we learned boundaries. We learned how to love without setting them up for another failure, because we can't be there in their lives all the time, you know. So God showed us many things while we were there.
Yeah. What if somebody is interested in either coming alongside and helping out REC, or if they're interested in doing something similar in a different prison system, or if they, like you, maybe they're just hearing about this, they're not from Minnesota, but they're listening to the show today, how would you encourage people to follow up and follow through with pursuing that call of God?
We have a website.
Yeah, okay.
So it is, I don't want to get it wrong.
Right.
So www.cm-rec.org.
Okay. cm.rec.
Dash.
Or dash, excuse me. cm-rec.org. Okay. And are there ways that people can get involved with REC then?
That is actually a REC website for here in Minnesota. So, and I would imagine, you know, you can Google anything.
Yeah.
So you can Google other prison ministries. There's lots out there. And that, but this one is Catholic. That's really harder to find. Is that if you're really interested in serving as a Catholic?
Sure.
This is an excellent way to do it. And there's through Embrace or through Deacon Tim Zinda.
Yeah.
Also, you can go and help him visit in the workhouse, and things like that. So
my understanding is that because of all of your work and your involvement with REC, it actually limits the amount of time that you can be involved in Embrace. But that is, as you say, another opportunity for people to get involved.
It is. Mm-hmm. And plus, the DOC only allows us to do, you can either be a mentor, which is part of what Embrace is, or go in and do the retreats itself.
Okay.
And we go in once a month after the retreats.
Okay.
So do 2 a year.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's exciting work.
Yeah.
And probably you should know that we have like 30 to 35 volunteers that go in for a weekend.
Well, that's what I was wondering. That's what I was going to ask is what exactly, with all the things that you mentioned, I can imagine that there's all sorts of things to do, from hospitality to if you're doing music, obviously you need musicians. What other kind of things do people do, do volunteers do with you at the rec retreats?
Well, we have... We call them resources, table resources. We have a large group, about 65 to 67 new residents that come on each weekend to participate.
Wow.
And we break them down into small groups, usually about 12 tables. So we have 12 individuals from the outside that come in as table resources. We have musicians. We have directors for the weekend. Spiritual directors for the weekend, and we have
sacristans.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That they're kind of the gophers. They do all the setups and passing out different items that we need. So yeah, there's lots of things for them to do. We have a prayer team that's set up, and there's usually about a dozen people on the prayer team. So
wow,
that's busy.
And the inside guys who have made a rec weekend. Before can become part of our team on the inside. So they also can be musicians, a table resource, the sacristan. So they get to experience it and try to become better leaders.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And develop their faith.
Yeah. Well, as we're talking here, it just is running through my mind, Jesus's words in Matthew chapter 25 of, you know, I was in prison, and you visited me. And I would imagine, and maybe you can speak to this a little bit more, but I would imagine that for those who are spending, especially if they're spending I guess it doesn't necessarily matter, but I was thinking, especially if they're serving a long sentence, that they might be in need of that sort of thing, of being able to speak with somebody, helping them to process through some of the things or what their life currently circumstance is. As part of the retreat and part of the small groups that you were talking about, the table discussions and that sort of thing, I mean, does that factor into it? How do you see that effective in helping them to process through their experience?
Well, the die day, the first day, is looking inward.
Right.
And doing lots of different things of how to look inward. And one powerful thing that we do is we have a Paschal Mystery Talk, which really goes into depth of the things inside of us. And so we write on blocks of wood all the stuff that we need to give to Jesus, all the stuff that, you know, the negative pieces of our life that keep us from a relationship with the Lord, with others, with ourselves. And then we have a skit with, like, mimes.
Wow.
And they come and collect those blocks and bring them to Jesus. So kind of a visual thing.
Yeah.
And then after that, they're able to go to confession. So we've had a process all day.
Right.
Of how to go inward.
Right. And I would imagine with all the things that you've got going on, it takes a fair amount of administration before and after the retreat and that sort of thing. So is that what you find yourselves doing a lot?
Yes, this is Mrs. Busy here. She's the one, lots of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, she puts lots of time into it.
Yeah, it's worth it, though. Yeah. And then probably to know that we don't go in and just do the retreats. Maybe I've said this before, but it's a journey. It's a journey, our journey, not just theirs.
Right.
So we journey with them. Whatever we ask them to do, we do. And so I think that's the power of what God uses. You know, the Holy Spirit is so present as we journey and we try to become better people and let go of the things in our lives.
Right. Is there any particular way that we, our listening audience, can pray for you, pray for REC, pray for the inmates, any specific things that you can think of?
Yeah, I would say...
Always.
Yeah, always is right. I mean, pray for more volunteers, for sure. We can use more manpower so that we can do this expansion of Stillwater and Rush City along with Lionel Lakes, because it takes a lot of leadership. Also for the staff at the prisons, the wardens, the captains who make a lot of the decisions, the correctional officers, yes, pray for them. And for the men in the prison, that they can keep the hope that they have found, you know, that they can keep that and not lose it.
And we're not getting any younger either, so if we want to continue yeah. this ministry, we're going to need some younger persons to step up, so we keep praying for that too.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
And we have had several that have joined us, so.
That's excellent, that's excellent. Well, clearly the Lord is at work, clearly the Holy Spirit is stirring hearts, and he has stirred your hearts to respond in such a faithful way. The website, again, if you're interested in volunteering or just finding out more about REC, is www.cm-rec.org. cm-rec.org. So check out REC. Barb and Tim, it's been great having you on the show this morning. Thank you for everything that you do, and thank you for joining us today in the studio.
It's our pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, well, it's my pleasure. The Lord is certainly doing good things in and around us in so many different ways, and that's one of the things we continue to hope to bring to you each and every time here on the Rediscover Hour. So we thank you for being with us as well. We're going to come back after just a few minutes and talk about other ways that you can get involved in the faith here in the Archdiocese. So stay with us. Rediscover.
If you haven't taken the time to tour our cathedral in St. Paul, you've missed a real treasure of nearby history. Catholic United Financial and Relevant Radio invite you to attend a special free event and tour of the St. Paul Cathedral Wednesday morning, June 21st. Join our group for a behind-the-scenes tour of the glory, splendor, and mysteries of the Cathedral on the Hill in St. Paul. This event will also bring you the latest information on saving successfully for retirement, estate planning, and charitable giving, presented by John Tetzloff, Advanced Case Specialist with Catholic United Financial. The event is free with lunch included and a fully narrated tour filled with history and the beauty of our cathedral. Reserve up to 4 free tickets now for our seminar and tour Wednesday, June 21st, 612-643-4121. No products or services will be sold. There is no obligation, just an opportunity to learn and be surrounded by the faith-filled stories inside the walls of the Cathedral of St. Paul with Relevant Radio and Catholic United Financial, 612-643-4121.
Hey there, Paul.
Hi.
It's good to have you with us, as always.
I'm here.
Excellent. What do we got going on?
Well, the Office of Vocations encourages youth ages 12 to 17 to consider Quo Vadis summer camps. What a name for a vocation summer camp.
Exactly.
It means where are you going?
Yeah, where are you going?
Coming up in July, each camp will run Sunday night through Wednesday, and it'll be a great experience to discover God's will with lots of fun and recreation. For more information, visit 10,000vocations.org. That's one followed by
a lot of zeros.
Four zeros. Vocations.org.
Grandparents, you're invited to the Learning Technology to Connect with Grandchildren workshop hosted by the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. This workshop will be held on Wednesday, June 14th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis Chancery in St. Paul. Join us to learn how you can keep in touch with your grandchildren by texting, FaceTime, Skype, and more. Please bring your cell phone, your tablet, or any other form of technology that you want to learn how to use with FaceTime or Skype. A free will offering will be accepted. To register, please visit the events page on CatholicGrandparenting.com.
Learn about FEM, fertility education and medical management, the women's health program that revolutionizes how we talk about women's health and the way doctors and patients approach wellness. This education event is on Thursday, June 15th, 7 p.m. It's being offered for the first time in our Archdiocese. It is for NFP providers, people who work at crisis pregnancy centers, and anyone interested in women's health. The program will be held at the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis Chancery in St. Paul. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or contact Nancy Schulte, 651-291-4489. It's sponsored through the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life.
This year marks the 7th Annual Widow's Day of Reflection on Saturday, June 17th from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. Each year, this Day of Reflection is offered to widows for spiritual enrichment and fellowship. Speakers at this Day of Reflection include Bishop Andrew Cousins and Michelle Denise Michaels. Bishop Cousins will speak on growing in faith through prayer and saying yes through Mary. For more information, visit the event page at archspm.org or visit olgparish.org.
Relevant Radio listeners are invited to the Cathedral of St. Paul for a special guided behind-the-scenes tour Wednesday, June 21st. Lunch and special presentation will be included, and it's free, courtesy of Catholic United Financial. You must RSVP. Call 612-643-4121 to reserve a spot for you and family and friends. Number again, 612-643-4121.
You are invited to the 2017 Archdiocesan Rural Life Sunday on June 25th, hosted at the Byron and Judy Dahlheimer Family Farm in Center City, Minnesota. Mass with Archbishop Hebda will be celebrated at 2 p.m. with a country meal following. There will be live music, dancing, kids' activities, and games. A free will offering is gratefully accepted. Some seating will be provided, but please bring your own lawn chairs. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org.
I like that country meal.
Yeah, country meal.
What's up next week?
Next week, we're going to talk about Catholic formation through the Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute in an interview with Father Peter Williams, Vice Rector of the St. Paul Seminary, and Michael Lane, a new CI graduate of the class of St. Teresa of Avila. We'll also talk about women's health with Veronica Janchuk and Jean Stolpelstead, Director of the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. Veronica works for a comprehensive women's health program called FEM, which empowers women in the achievement of their health. That is what's coming up next week. It's so great to have you with us. We're grateful for your yes. What is your yes going to be today? Well, in the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.